Translation. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit, because King Runtidev was a pure devotee, always Krishna conscious and free from all material desires, the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, could not exhibit herself before him. On the contrary, for him, Maya entirely vanished, exactly like a dream. Purport. As it is said, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhaka Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Adhika. Just as there is no chance that darkness can exist in the sunshine, in a pure Krishna conscious person, there can be no existence of Maya. The Lord Himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metang tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. If one wants to be free from the influence of Maya, the illusory energy, one must become Krishna conscious and always keep Krishna prominent within the core of his heart. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord advises that one always think of him. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru. In this way, by always being Krishna-minded or Krishna conscious, one can surpass the influence of Maya. Maya metang tarantite. Because Rantidev was Krishna conscious, he was not under the influence of the illusory energy. The word svapnavat is significant in this connection, because in the material world the mind is absorbed in materialistic activities. When one is asleep, many contradictory activities appear in one's dreams. When one awakens, however, these activities automatically merge into the mind. Similarly, as long as one is under the influence of the material energy, he makes many plans and schemes, but when one is Krishna conscious, such dream-like plans automatically disappear. This chapter is entitled The Dynasty of Bharat. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam, as in other Mahapuranas, of course Srimad Bhagavatam is in a category of its own, but has the format of a typical Mahapurana, that one of the prominent subjects is Vamsa Anucharita, the description of the dynasties of great kings. And we find in the dynasty of Bharat many great devotees are born. Here is described Rantidev, who was so free from the influence of material energy that the influence of Maya completely vanished, something like a dream. When we wake up, we may remember some dream, but it's fleeting. Just some vague thoughts are there, and then we get on with our business at the day, and we just forget it. So this is the stage of pure devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are two sides, Krishna Surya Sama. There's Krishna side, in which we're completely in the light, and Maya Hoy Andhaka. There's the state of being in the darkness of Maya. So it's a very simple formula. If we're with Krishna, in Krishna, always thinking of Krishna, then we're in the light. And if not, then we're in the darkness, because darkness is defined by light, by the absence of light. So in the same way, if we're in Krishna consciousness, there's no question of the darkness of Maya. And if we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we must be in the darkness of Maya. Of course, there is the in-between stage. Those who take to Krishna consciousness, they at least theoretically understand, or should understand, that we are supposed to be free from Maya, from Krishna's illusory energy. by which one thinks in terms of I and mine, as is described in many places here in Srimad Bhagavatam, one verse which Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavametam Tayoraho Hridaya Grantimahuhu. Aho Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitaya Janasya Moho Yamahamameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. And when their hearts join together in love, then it forms a strong bond. They become as if knotted together. Their hearts become, two hearts become as if one. But it's illusory. And this illusion spreads as attachment to home, family, children, country, relatives, children, money. And in this way, one is illusion thinking in terms of ahammameti, I, me, and mine. So that is illusion, because we have no real connection with all of this. And this also causes us to suffer life after life. In the same section of Bhagavatam, it is stated that people who perform sinful activities, pramatta, they are insane. Nunang pramatta kurute vikarma, yad indriya pritiya aprinoti na sadhu manyayata atmanoyam asannapi kleshada asadeha. People are certainly insane who they perform sinful activities which cause them to get born again and again and again and suffer again and again and again. So a major impetus for becoming Krishna conscious for conditioned souls is to get free from suffering. The real impetus should be love of Krishna, but for many, if not most, the impetus is to get free from suffering of this material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also teaches us to pray, Ayi nanda tanuja kinkarang patitang maam vishame bhavam buddhau kripaya tava padapankaja stithadhuli sadrishing vichintaya. He says that I'm suffering in this material world, so this horrible situation, so please pick me up and place me as one of the atoms in your lotus feet. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many descriptions, some long descriptions of the nature of material existence. For instance, in the fifth canto, the description of the forest of material existence. It's an extensive description of how we go into this world with hope of happiness, but actually we meet with great distress. So we should be aware of this. There is Krishna and there is Maya. And it used to be in our movement that there was a very strong distinction between this. That you're in Maya, Prabhu. To hear this said, that's a warning. Don't do that. You're going to lose your Krishna consciousness. In this regard, I'll read one quote from Srila Prabhupada speaking in Mayapur, in a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture in 1976. Srila Prabhupada said, the illusory energy is so strong, even one gets the body of a pig, he thinks it is very nice. We've heard this before. We could just try to meditate upon that, that if we were suddenly transformed into the body of a pig, well, and we still had the consciousness of what we were before, we'd find this is something horrible. Especially in India, the pigs, they eat stool, and I don't know if it's still allowed in this country, but it used to be that the people, they would keep all the slops, they would call it the slops, the thrown out food, and keep it in a slop bucket, and the farmer would come around time to time, at least in our, where I lived, and he would take all the slops, that means all the thrown out food, and that would be fed to the pigs, and then the pig would be fed to you. So the position of being a pig, but he thinks it's very nice, and I have a graphic memory of that, which I have recalled several times. I think it was the second time I was in Vrindavan. This must have been in 1977. So going on a walk around the Parikrama path, which is now not a Parikrama path, it's like a highway, but there's some houses and the back of people's houses, the backside, with the veranda. So one young boy came out on the first floor. That's British first floor, not American first floor. It means one floor up. And plopped down his pants, stuck his backside over the railing or through the railing, and plop, 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 plop. And the pig was there, knowing that this is the time of day to get your fresh, hot breakfast. And some of the plop, 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 poop, poop, poop was landing on his head, and he was wagging his tail and very happy to be eating stool. So Srila Prabhupada says, even if one gets the body of a pig, he thinks it is very nice. This is called prakshepatmika shakti. Maya has got especially two energies, avaranatmika and prakshepatmika. Generally, Maya keeps us covered with illusion. That's called avaranatmika. And if one is a little enlightened, wants to get out of the clutches of Maya, there is another potency of Maya, who is that prakshepatmika. Prakshepatmika means to throwing us back. One is covering, anyway, just covering, no idea of Krishna consciousness. Then if we start to become Krishna conscious, then Maya has another phase for throwing us back. So continuing this quote from Srila Prabhupada. Suppose one thinks, now I shall become Krishna conscious. This ordinary material consciousness is so disturbing. Let me become Krishna conscious. So Maya will say, what will you do with this? Better remain in material consciousness. This is called prakshepatmika shakti. Therefore, sometimes some man comes in our society. After staying for days, he goes away. This is prakshepta, thrown away. Unless he's very sincere, he cannot stay with us. He'll be thrown away. So as I was saying, it used to be there was this very clear demarcation. Don't do this. Don't. That's Maya. If you say that's Maya. Oh, I mustn't do that. But times have changed, and we see that within our movement, devotees, they go on being devotees while doing things which are clearly Maya, and which in the old days they would have said, that's Maya, Prabhu. And somehow they're doing some things. Just like, for instance, I wrote down a few things. Watching TV. Taking interest in sports or playing sports. I think it was last time I was here, or last to last time, as they say in India. That I saw some devotee had all magazines of motorcycle racing. Which, that's Maya, Prabhu. But he wasn't trying to hide it or any such thing. He just said, well, when I want to race motorcycles, I didn't discuss with him, but if I want to read this, that's okay, and then some other time I'll chant Hare Krishna and you can mix it all up as much as you like. Talking prajalpa. We don't hear this word prajalpa much anymore. It used to be that, oh, that's not Krishna. But talk, 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 this, 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 this. talking mundane subjects that have no connection with Krishna consciousness. Keeping pets, pet dogs, loose mixing between the sexes, fashions, cosmetics, having the nails polished, newspapers. Immediately it should be understood that this is not Krishna consciousness. This is an impediment to our Krishna consciousness. But now the borderline is fuzzy. There's always some justification, or maybe not justification, just, I'm practicing Krishna consciousness like this. So that's why there's initiation is supposed to be Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, one is supposed to surrender, take a vow to follow very strictly various rules and regulations. But the essence of taking initiation is not actually chanting 16 rounds or even following four regulated principles. They are, of course, essential. But the essence is the spirit of surrender to Krishna. The idea that now my life is meant for Krishna, I must do everything that is favorable for serving Krishna. That atma samarpan, that's sharanagati, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. I must do everything that is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness and give up all that is impeding advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, as long as we live in this material world, there will be impediments and we won't be able to fully overcome them all at once. But at least that spirit must be there and endeavor must be there to do so. Otherwise, we remain in Maya. We don't come out of Maya unless we have a very clear direction and resolve to do so. And if we don't come out of Maya, then we don't get to the level of Ranthidev, and we remain in this world of birth and death. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Ashradhana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamang Nivartante Mrityu Sangsara Vartmani. One who does not stay clearly fixed on this path of Dharma, due to not having full faith in the process, then he must take birth again and again in this material world. Here's another quotation from Srila Prabhupada, speaking in 1975 in Mexico, it's a departure lecture, when he's leaving from there. So his message to his disciples there: I wish that all of you who have come to join this Krishna consciousness movement live very carefully so that Maya may not snatch you from the hand of Krishna. Just see, we've come to the hand or to the shelter of Krishna, but Maya may snatch us. We may think, well, how can Maya snatch us if we are in the hand of Krishna? But if we want, Maya will come and take us, if we so desire. Continuing, Srila Prabhupada says, we can keep ourselves very steady simply by following the regulated principles and chanting minimum 16 rounds. Then we are safe. So you have got some information about the perfection of life. Don't misuse it. Yeah, we have some information, and we have all these books which Srila Prabhupada has given. He says some information. We have the encyclopedia of spiritual knowledge in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. He's given us all this knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada says, don't misuse it. Try to keep it very steadily and your life will be successful. This movement does not stop anything for comfortable life, but it makes regulated. In other words, there's no need of false austerities. One can live comfortably, but keep regulated. Regulated means to follow the rules and regulations of Shastra.
So if we follow the regulated principles and chant 16 rounds, that is our safe position. I think this instruction you will follow. That is my desire.
So to attain this standard, we wish to come to the standard of Ranti Dev described here, where Maya becomes so insignificant, it seems like a dream. It is like you may have a dream at night, and then you wake up, and just as you wake up, there's some little memory, but you don't. Of course, some people take dreams very seriously, but generally we just don't even think about it. You just get on with your day's work, and the dream recedes into the subconsciousness, and it's just not worth thinking about because it's a dream. It has no real existence. Well, life in this material world, in the waking state, that's also a dream. So Krishna consciousness means that we're so absorbed in service to Krishna that the idea of living in this world with any other motive just becomes like a dream. So we're aspiring for that stage. But if we cultivate Maya, that means that we're not going to be clearly on the path to Krishna. Or even if we're very sincere to serve Krishna, we have to be very, very careful. For instance, a devotee may be working very hard and then puts off the rounds till later. Of course, that tendency to work hard for Krishna is certainly glorious, but we have to be very careful. We have a tendency to put off rounds till later, then take rest late at night, then may rise late in the morning or get up in the morning but not be in very clear consciousness, or may put the rounds off till later, and then one of the earliest members of the movement told me how he lost spiritual strength, that he would chant 13 rounds and then think, okay, I'll leave the rest till later, and then he'd be busy all day and then he'd just forget, or it's too late, and then he came down from 16 rounds to 13 rounds to 10 rounds, and he came to a stage where he wasn't chanting at all. He was going on with service because he was absorbed in service. But eventually he left the association of devotees. He's back again, but he went through a quite long holiday, if you want to call it, a holiday in hell, not being in full service to Krishna. So that's a trick of Maya. Now, of course, we have the picture of Tribhuvanath Prabhu here, who, as I remember, he often used to do that. Of course, he was an exceptional devotee, but that's not the general standard. The general standard is that one follows a program of sadhana and chants early in the morning, rising early. It's often difficult to find the balance between where there's so much service to do. There's always unlimited service to do for one who wants to serve. But at the same time, we have to keep a balance. That's just one example. There could be many examples of how we gradually fall into Maya. Or we take interest in extraneous things, things that have got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, and that takes up our attention. We spend time in taking interest in things which have got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. I gave that example of motorcycle racing. So we associate with those lower modes of nature and the people who are interested in that. It's not that we can just switch on and switch off and think that Krishna will
say, okay, all right, you be in Maya sometimes, and then you can come to me also. But Krishna says, Mame kam sharanam raja. We won't be accepted in the spiritual world unless we have full absorption in Krishna. There may be other things, collecting money for Krishna, this we've seen many times. Kanaka Kamini, these two things, always warned about, the attraction to Kanaka means gold or money, and Kamini means lustful desire for, well, Kamini means a woman who invokes lower desires. So if one, money is required for, well, actually money is not required, is not the first requirement for spreading Krishna consciousness, but the main thing that's required is simply the desire to do so. But to do so, then if there's institution, buildings, books to be printed, then certainly money is required for all these things. So if one becomes desirous to collect money for Krishna and then becomes absorbed in money, pounds, shillings, pence, as the saying used to go, and then one becomes, even though the intention is to serve Krishna, one becomes distracted from Krishna by the lure of money, which is so enticing, that when one has money, then others and oneself tend to think highly of oneself, and it feels as if I have power, I have the ability to enjoy, I'm in a better position than others. And many, many times we've seen in our movement how the enticement of money is instrumental in causing devotees to fall down. Now you may say, well, we don't have that problem here, but of excess money, but it is to be remembered that it may be more so for those who don't have, then when they do get, they may become more attracted to that. Just like we can remember the example of our godbrother Ambarish Prabhu, who comes from a very rich family, Ford family. Well, the Ford Motor Car Company family. So. As he recounted, from a young age, he could see that money can't buy you love. That how people with much money was very rich people, they were simply suffering so much, and therefore he sought out something that money can't buy you, which is the love of Krishna, and he took to Krishna consciousness. So there are many ways of attraction between the sexes, obviously Kanaka Kamini, attraction to money, attraction between the sexes, and then in the one song Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur sings, Kanaka Kamini Pratishta Bhagini. Pratishta means the desire for, even within devotional society, the desire for power, prestige, position. So this is more subtle, but these are also dangerous forms of Maya. She comes in various ways. Pratishta Bhagini. Bhagini means like a tigress. So, yeah, maybe the two devotees, male and female, for some service, they come together and they're very proper in their dealings, and then they appreciate, oh, it's very proper, very good. And then again, next time, a little, all right, they have good attitude, so be a little, all right, and then little open, and open and open and open the heart more and more, and Maya enters, Kamadeva enters, the Cupid, and they fall down. Although they came together, even though they're behaving politely, this and that, but they, because they became less careful, they thought, oh yes, this is very good, behaving properly. But Maya is smarter than us. So that can cause fall down also. So all these things, you have to be very careful. If we have even a habit of not chanting our rounds fully in one day, that's already fall. That's already a fall down. It's already we began. And so we may say, but I'm fully engaged in Krishna's service. Well, be careful, because many stalwarts, Srila Prabhupada uses this term, have fallen down due to these attractions. You may say, well, they're very petty attractions. If you know Krishna, you have knowledge of Krishna, then why should you be attracted to this low class sexual attraction or money, which money is just for attraction to money, that's just for foolish materialistic people. But Maya, even though we may have such ideals and have such high knowledge, but Maya doesn't spare us. She has her ways of working. So we have to be very, very, very careful. But then it may seem, well, it's easier just, you know, why not just, have a little Maya. Yeah, it's okay. Well, that's allowed. That is allowed in the Grihastha Ashram. There is a license for sense gratification, but it's a license, and it means under rules and regulations, not gross indulgence. Grihastha Ashram means, that one is situated for spiritual advancement. But we may think, well, why struggle on day after day and all the other grihasthas have a TV, so I'll get one also. And then like this. But a devotee, how does he conquer over Maya? Well, there are various ways. Srila Prabhupada has quoted, as he quotes many times in the purport to the verse that we're reading today, Devi yesha gunamahi mam maya durate amam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Energy of Krishna, made up of the three modes of nature, is very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me can overcome it. So there we go. We have to surrender to Krishna. Well, surrender means anukulyasya sankalpa. Sankalpa, firm determination to accept only that which is favorable in Krishna's service. And pratikulyasya vajrayam, firm determination to give up all that which is an impediment in our devotional advancement. Excuse me. In Bhagavatam also we find Uddhava. He states to Krishna, Atoyo papukta sragandha vasalankara charchita uchishta bhojano dasas. Tavamaya jayemahi. He says to Krishna that by using the items enjoyed by you, accepting as prasad, garlands, scents, ornaments, clothing, vasalankara charchita, uchishta, food, prasadam, then we will conquer over Maya. So that's all these things very helpful for conquering over Maya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Sharira Vidyajal, this body is a network of ignorance. That's Jarendra Te Kal, and the senses, the mundane senses, are like death. They spell death for us. And jiva phale vishaya sagare, they throw the jiva
into the ocean of sense gratification. And taramadhe jiba oti. Among them, the tongue is, among the senses, the tongue is lobhamati, very greedy, and awakens very bad consciousness. But Krishna is very merciful for the sake, karibare jiba joy, for the sake of conquering over the tongue, swaprasadana daloba, is very kindly given us his mercy in the form of foodstuff. So shayanamrita pa radha krishna guna gao premer dakao chaitanya. So we can accept that nectarian mercy in the form of foodstuff, and in this way conquer the avaricious tongue. So these are some formulae for helping to cross over maya. There has to be the desire to cross over maya. Therefore, we need to discuss all these things. We can't defeat maya unless we have the idea to do so. If we think that, well, it's okay, or we don't recognize the difference between maya and non-maya, maya and Krishna consciousness, we don't recognize the difference between dark and light, or if we think we'll have some Krishna consciousness and some... maya, then we won't, then we'll be in somewhat light, somewhat dark situation, a murky situation, not very clear. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that in fighting, he was referring to the Kurukshetra battle. So in fighting, the first thing is to know the strength of the enemy. And therefore we find in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Duryodhana is described. Duryodhana, he takes stock of the enemy forces and his own forces. Paschaitan Panduputranam, he said, just see, here are the sons of Pandu, and describes all the soldiers, the main soldiers on that side, and Ashmaka, also our forces, Ashmakam tu Vishishta. Te, among yourself, Drona, you are prominent among Bhishma, you are prominent among them. So in fighting maya, Srila Prabhupada said, we should know her strength and how she works. Therefore, we should study Shastra, which describes how maya works, and just see how, from the Shastra descriptions, we can just see how maya works. And in, stated in Bhagavad Gita, avritam jnanam etena jnanino nityavairna kamarupena kaunteya dushpurena analena va analena cha. Avritam, she covers, avaranatmika. Avaranatmika shakti means covering. So she covers the knowledge or the proper understanding of the conditioned soul, and is the constant enemy of clear vision, clear knowledge, clear realization in the form of karma, material desire, and burns like a virulent fire. So the burning like a fire, which fire is very dangerous. So the fire of material desire burning in the heart. Here's another quotation from Srila Prabhupada from Krishna book, describing what is maya. Maya can be explained in various ways. Oh, there's an important verse also. Ritertam yat pratiyeta napratiyeta chatmani. What's the next line? Napratiyeta chatmani. Yatabhaso tatatamaha. I forgot the third line. But Krishna says to Brahma that maya, whatever is
conceived of without a relationship to me. That is Maya. I forgot the third line. So Srila Prabhupada explains from Krishna book, the existence of Maya is only within the mind. Maya is nothing but ignorance of Krishna's personality. So where is Maya? Well, it doesn't really exist, it's just a concept. The concept that something exists separately from Krishna, but nothing exists separately from Krishna. So by studying Shastra and hearing, we can understand that nothing is outside of Krishna. One who lives in this consciousness can live amid all the objects of the senses and not be in Maya. That is the meaning of Yukta Vairagya. Nibandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchate. That to see everything in relationship with Krishna, so therefore one can be in contact with the objects of the senses, but not be attracted to use them for one's own sense gratification. Otherwise, what is Maya? It's a mistaken concept, but it's such a big mistake that it causes us to take birth again and again and again. Forgetfulness of Krishna. In another statement of Srila Prabhupada, in a letter Srila Prabhupada wrote, always keep yourself engaged in Krishna's service and Maya will never attack. Yeah, if we're always in Krishna's service, then we can't be in Maya's service. Now I spoke just a little before about how we can be so busy, we don't have time to chant, and then we get weak. Well, engage in Krishna's service, but we should know how to be engaged in Krishna's service in a way that we can remain strong. It may be that some devotees, they don't even need to chant Hare Krishna, they're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. They don't need to perform acts of sadhana. A very good example of that is the gopis of Vrindavan. We have no record of them getting up in the morning and chanting their rounds, but they were always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Another example is our departed godbrother Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, who would cook for Krishna Balaram in ISKCON Vrindavan, literally morning till night. He didn't chant rounds. He had permission from Srila Prabhupada to do so. He was always fully absorbed in how to please Krishna and Balaram by cooking. So he was on that platform. But if others try to do that, then they may fall from that position. We have to know what is our adhika, our level of eligibility. What is good for one person may cause fall down for another. Just like eating ghee, if one can digest it, that gives strength. If you can't digest it, it turns into poison. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur states about in the matter of adhika, eligibility, who is eligible to conceive of his spiritual form. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, adhikana labhya siddha deha bhave viparya buddhi janme shaktir abhave. He says that if someone has not attained the eligibility to meditate on his siddha deha, his eternal spiritual form, then the result of doing so is that the opposite kind of intelligence, instead of pure intelligence, the opposite will come into being because of his lack of ability. Another quote from Srila Prabhupada. This is from a Bhagavatam class in New Vrindavan in 1973. Srila Prabhupada said, in the beginning, if you take to Krishna consciousness, there will be so many disturbances by the Maya. Maya will test you how far you are fixed up. She will test you. She will. She is also an agent of Krishna. She does not allow anyone who is meant for disturbing Krishna. Therefore, she tests very rigidly whether you have taken Krishna consciousness to disturb Krishna or you are actually serious. Interesting, huh? Have you taken to Krishna consciousness to disturb Krishna? Or are you actually serious? That is Maya's business. So there will in the beginning test, there will be in the beginning test by Maya, and you will feel so much disturbances in making progress in Krishna consciousness. But if you remain steady, steady means if you follow the rules and regulations and chant 16 rounds, then you will remain steady. And if you neglect, then Maya will capture you immediately. Maya is always ready. So there's a warning to follow the rules and regulations, which Srila Prabhupada actually did in dozens and dozens of letters especially. Follow the rules and regulations. This will help to keep us safe. It's not a complete guarantee, but it will. If we don't follow that, then we're going to be in a very precarious position. As Srila Prabhupada stated in a lecture in 1973 in Los Angeles, he said, don't think that we are safe now. We are not safe. They say, well, I'm very safe. I'm practicing Krishna consciousness so many years. I'm safe. I'm saved. Are you saved? Yes, I'm safe. But without your protection, this is with a capital Y, without your protection, Krishna, we are always unsafe. This should be the position of the devotees. We are actually in a dangerous position, this material world. At any time, Maya will catch, at any time. As soon as we are a little inattentive, now I have done my duty, now let me take rest a little. No, there is no rest. We must always be alert. We see in the case of Srila Prabhupada, he did his duty. He was old, he could have just remained in Vrindavan, but he pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to go to the West. When he was in the West, he kept on pushing against Maya. He didn't think, now I've done enough, now I'll just retire. So, Srila Prabhupada continues, Avyartha Kalatvam. This is from the descriptions of Bhava Bhakti. That a devotee is always conscious not to waste time. So Srila Prabhupada explains, a devotee should be so much careful that he should see whether my time is unnecessarily being spent, whether I am now engaged in Maya service or Krishna service. That one should be very much alert. Avyartha kalatvam namagane sadaruchihi pritis tadvasatis tale. These are the symptoms of advanced devotees. What is that? Namagane sadaruchihi. He's never tired of chanting or singing or dancing. No tiresome feeling. Namagana sada. Sada means always. Ruchihi, taste. Oh, very nice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. This is the taste. This taste, to awaken this taste, it takes time. So, hearing about the characteristics of Ranti Dev, how he was so Krishna conscious, even in family life, that it seemed Maya to him practically didn't exist. Maya doesn't exist once we cross. For us, Maya doesn't exist as soon as we Maya Metam Tarantite, as soon as we cross beyond it. But prior to that stage, we should be very, very careful and differentiate clearly. This is Krishna consciousness. This is not Krishna consciousness. I must accept this, which is Krishna conscious, and forswear that, which is not Krishna consciousness. So this clear understanding must be kept. Otherwise, there's no possibility of coming out of Maya. And if we remain in Maya, then it's no happiness for us. There'll simply be suffering. Krishna is not happy. He wants us to come out of Maya. So, Hare Krishna, is there any question, please, or thoughts about this? You'd like to speak? Yes, please.
Sometimes when we try to make things clear in terms of what Krishna consciousness or Maya is, I can see that sometimes it has become almost a fashion to some to respond in a way which actually uses Krishna to stay in Maya. Like, for example, TV, watching TV or things like this, to mention these things, the answer that often comes is that, you know, Krishna is everywhere.
Krishna is everywhere. So go smear stool on your face.
I can see Krishna in my TV and you're not to judge it. You
cannot. I see Krishna in my TV and you're not to judge it. You don't know. Then don't waste your time with such useless people. They may have a bead bag in their hands, but they're completely useless. It means absolute lack of sincerity. That's all. That's all that can be said. If you can maybe get a donation from them or something, but it means they're talking like karmis, not like devotees. One who has got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada will never speak like that. It's what are we going to say? What are you going to say to someone? How do you wake up someone who's pretending to be asleep? It becomes like when we were in India in the 1970s, people would say, yes, I know everything about Krishna. You don't tell me about Krishna. So it's exactly the same mentality. A difference is at least the Hindus had some basic piety, whereas if we go back to our background, we don't have any basic piety. So, don't waste your time with useless people. Useless. So, you can... It's not even worth to discuss. Just leave them in there. There is a statement that I want to be in Maya, but I'm not going to admit that. I'm going to present myself as I'm such a great devotee. I see Krishna in the TV. And why don't you see Krishna the way that all the great acharyas did and told us to? So this is a mixture of Mayavad and Sahaja and total insincerity. It's painful even to hear it. That someone had such an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness, but they in such an offensive way they reject that. But they say, I'm not rejecting it. I'm more Krishna conscious. I'm more Krishna conscious than you because I see Krishna in the TV. You don't. You're just following all those rules. But I see Krishna in the TV. Very, very sinful. This will lead to great sinfulness and very offensive. And such a person, their fall down will be very severe. Yeah. It seems like that.
Well, I was thinking of how when Mother Devahuti approaches Kapila Dev, her first thing is that she says, I'm sick of this. And that sickness that Prabhupada says that disgust with these things.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And they somehow or another they can rationalize say. But the real issue is there's still an attraction for these things. And they're not discussed as...
Disgust, yeah. In one place, Srila Prabhupada writes that disgust with material life is the first stage of, or I can't remember exactly, but it's required for beginning of spiritual life. Or it may be that they had some feeling of disgust, but then they look back and said, well, maybe it's not so bad after all.
And then you have to review the situation and say, well, no, I don't want to go back into my life. But then I've seen it and heard it from so many devotees. Well, you know. I have to strike a balance because of this and that. But it really gets down to the fact that the desire to be Krishna conscious has not displaced the desire for anything.
This thing about making a balance, there could be a good case for that. For instance, if you're many householders, their children, and then if they don't watch the TV at home, then they'll go next door and watch it and maybe get some chips fried in, I don't know, people still fry in lard. They probably don't do that, but they do, yeah. Lard is pig's fat. So they might get given that, and so there can be, but the way of Maya is very subtle.
The point that came into my mind just in the end was there's the story of how, I think it was in Atlanta, Srila Prabhupada was greeting the deities one morning, and he was he lingered a long time in a very prayerful attitude in front of all the time. And then after the morning program in his rooms, one devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, you were obviously praying very intently this morning in front of all the time. Prabhupada said yes. And the devotee said, Srila Prabhupada, would you mind telling us what you were praying? And he said, I was praying that I never fall into Maya. And the devotee responded by saying, but Srila Prabhupada, isn't that a pure devotee never falls into Maya? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, because he is always praying that he never falls into Maya.
Yeah.
And that awareness, Prabhupada said, if you were aware of the danger you were in at the hands of Maya, you would be terrified. But we are not aware so often of how much danger we're in by just flirting with Maya. She'll kill you. She'll tear you apart. Gradually, you don't realize what's happening, and then the next thing, she's just ripping you up.
That's one thing we can say to someone who comes with this high philosophy of seeing Krishna in the TV or any, then you can, or what you can say to them, I pray that Maya gives you the good kicks, that you can come, the knowledge that you have, you come back to that point. They may remember that. Anything else? Yes. Yeah. Better that you, we know watching TV is not good, but it's better to watch TV and sometimes chant Hare Krishna than go away altogether. I remember years ago in Bangladesh, I came to someone's devotee's house, and with unannounced, and he was watching TV and chanting his rounds at the same time. So he didn't give up his chanting of his prescribed rounds, but he was also watching TV. Then to go away at all, that's not a very good argument. Much better is to be properly in Krishna consciousness. It's something like, it's better to be in minus 10 than minus 100. Yeah, but why not? You have the full opportunity to be in plus situation, so. It's Kali Yuga. Yes, it's Kali Yuga, but the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. Kali Pavana Gora, the purifier of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga chant the holy names. We can come out. We don't have to remain victims. Oh, there's that Kali Pavana Gora, that name comes up in the that one song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jodi Kali Kukora Kodana Jodi Chaure. Sri Shachinandana Nama Gaura. If you desire to be free from the mad dog like Kali Yuga, then chant the holy names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he gives so many names. One of them is Kali Pavana Gaura. He purifies. So if you desire, if you say, well, it's Kali Yuga. But if you desire, then chant the names. And then Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Gyana Divisa Kalo Nashta Dushamesha Purana Ako Dhunodita. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the antidote to Kali Yuga. Haryanama, Haryanama, Haryanama Evakim. This is the antidote. Chant Hare Krishna. Not, well, it's Kali Yuga, therefore watch TV. How does that work? Kale dosha nidhe rajan. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. But it doesn't say, well, then you do all those faults, but come out of it by kirtana deva Krishna's yet, glorifying Krishna. Yeah, please. I don't think I wrote that, but the first line of that book is that human life, especially the male form, is meant for self-realization. As far as I remember, I didn't get into more detail, but anyway, that's the essence of it. Yeah.
And then over the years, I've had realization of why that is from reading your books and personal experiences, practicing Krishna consciousness within the female body. But then my question is that, like today we're reading the verse, and then we got into the points that about the pig in muck, the me and the mine, and the family attachment, and things like this. So, my question was that in the female body, it's very difficult because we want to cultivate detachment, but then Krishna has designed us in a particular way for that attachment to raise a child. So it seems like when I'm reading these passages and I'm trying to cultivate it, of course I also read the prayers of Queen Kunti. But it seems so difficult because some devotees have actually said to me things like, if you read that, and particularly if you try to cultivate that mood within the woman's body, you can become hardened. So better that you read more of
Your heart will become hardened by reading Kunti's prayers? I don't think so. But we read one yesterday, didn't we? That Sri Krishna, Krishna Shaka, Vrishni, Rishabhavani, Drug, Rajanyavangsa, Dahanana, Pavargavirayasa, Govinda, Govrija, Surati, Haravatara, Yogeshwara, Akila, Guru, Bhagavan, Namaste. So if we read Kunti's prayers, we'll get the message of detachment with full outpouring love of Krishna, side by side. So how will the heart become hard? Detachment, it means that it will make the heart hard if there's no Krishna consciousness. That's the Mayavadi's detachment. But devotee's detachment means attachment for Krishna. So by reading Kunti's prayers, the heart will become soft, not hard. That's wrong to say that reading Kunti's prayers will make you hard-hearted. Just the opposite. But we get a good example from Kunti also, even though she was saying Sneha Pashame Mang Chindi Jira Vishnishu Pandushu. She was praying to Krishna to break the bond of attachment from the Vishnis and Pandavas. She was related to both families, both by her husband and by marriage and by her birth. But she remained in the position of mother, doing her duty in that position. But at the same time, she didn't have any material attachment for them. There was no material attachment. So even a sannyasi can become materially attached to disciples or the comforts that they and the service that they may offer. That doesn't mean he should stop accepting the service, because that's his duty to accept it also, to train them. But the internal sense of detachment has to be there. I had a nice realization from someone else's realization about 3 years ago. In Mayapur, I was just visiting some disciple's house just about a kilometer from temple and some local simple village people, and some elderly lady came, and we were in a group. We were all just talking some topics, and she said, this whole world, it's all simply illusion. We simply have to take shelter of Govinda. It's a simple Bengali woman, probably can't even read or write. But it was full conviction. But she wasn't a big sannyasi or any such thing. But she was living at home as a widow and being Krishna conscious. Maybe Srila Prabhupada also wanted devotees to go to India. Maybe he should do that and spend a little time and just see how people. Maybe in the West it just seems so unnatural to be Krishna conscious. The culture is so different, but if you go to India, especially if you go outside the dhams, which are like fully westernized, among our devotees, just go and live among people and see how they live, their culture, and how they're naturally Krishna conscious, even in family life or in all situations. Yes, please.
Depending on the circumstances you're coming into this life with, it's a gradual process. The process the human lifetime is divided into four sections of ashram, and living that ashram. Takes time.
Leaving or living?
Living.
Living.
The ashram takes time to do it. So there is, of course, our life is reduced due to our sinfulness in this age, but in a standard life of 100 years, you live 25 years in the Grihastha ashram. During that time, you have your family. And having a family means all the responsibilities. And if there's no if there's no involvement in that, you won't do it properly. You have to be involved in it. But because it's ashram and Krishna is in the center of it, my experience is as the years go by, a feeling of detachment from these things gradually develops as you grow older with the practice of Krishna.
With the practice of Krishna consciousness. Not that detachment arises just by being married, but one has to go on hearing and chanting, then automatically detach, as we see in the case of Puruvara and Yayati, that they were deep in family life, but they continued with the practice and associating with sadhus, and in course of time, the feeling of detachment arose.
Yes, I was thinking of Maharaj Preacher, in that he lived a very intimate life with his wife and his family, but a certain point in his life came, and the obvious point then to understand is that actually married life means Grihastha Ashram and Vanaprastha Ashram. In Vanaprastha Ashram, sometimes the husband will leave the wife with the family by agreement, but generally they live a retired life together. And the feelings of renunciation through the practice of Krishna consciousness in the retired life grow substantially within the heart of the woman and the man.
So there's a good answer for you also.
So it's a natural process. But at the core of it all is the hearing process. Because we must be hearing. I repeat this point a lot. In the purport of 1.2.15, where Swami says, therefore one should hear, remember, glorify, and worship the Lord, who is the protector of the devotees. In the purport, Prabhupada says this hearing, remembering, glorifying, and worshipping is the substance of life. You cannot live without this going on. So if you're not hearing about Krishna, then the list is endless. But the process of remembering, glorifying, and worshipping will go on. So you end up a fan of this and a fan of that, whatever, in the material world. Or what do they say, an aficionado of something. An authority on something. So because that's all you're hearing. But if we can develop the higher taste of hearing about Krishna, then the gradual process of renunciation develops.
Yeah. They think they're on television when you stop them in the street and ask them, what do you think of such and such? Yeah, I read the headlines of the newspaper pretty much every day. I usually don't go beyond the headlines. But it is useful to know. Many times it's useful. Like, for instance, if I'm heading for a place and then all of a sudden I find there are floods there or riots there. The train line is cut by floods or protests or whatever. Things like that. People glorifying someone like anything. And for some time in India, there was so much glorification of someone. He was supposed to be such a great person, and I said in one class, he's just another fool. And so that
makes a point. Why? Because he's not glorifying Krishna. Shvavid vara hoshtra karai. Like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. So, yeah, you can do so. See the headlines. That's another topic. We should know something about what's going on in the world. In London many years ago, I was speaking to someone, and he mentioned someone's name. I said, who? He mentioned the person's name again. I said, who? I asked again, he said, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. I actually didn't know the name. I was so detached, I didn't know the name. I was living in England, and I didn't know the name of the Prime Minister. And the person I was speaking to just thought I was a complete fool. So since that time, at least I know the name of the Prime Minister if I'm living in a country. The Prime Minister of the whole universe, he doesn't know who Krishna is. That's a very good point, yeah. His name was Callahan. When was that? It must have been late 70s, because that was when I was in England. Ian Callahan. Labour Party, I think, must have been. Oh, you don't know. You're from that place where they all walk upside down, right? Okay. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ranti Dev Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna.